Please take the Bible and turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Judges in chapter 14. And with God's help, we'll look at a passage here tonight I trust will be an encouragement to you. We all need to be encouraged from God's Word. And I'm so grateful to be here. It's encouraging for us to be here with you and see friendly people and familiar faces and have Christian fellowship. You know, it's amazing that we can come from all different parts of the world and yet have fellowship in Jesus Christ and be a Christian family because we have Christ as our Savior. That's a great, great blessing to me, and we're thankful to be here with you tonight. I'm grateful for Brother Colin and his kindness, and also for Reverend Higginson and his wife being here tonight. We're glad to see her as well. She's a very kind lady, and my wife and I enjoy fellowship we have with your pastor and his wife, and what a blessed church you have. It's very encouraging to be here and see you again. But if you have your Bible there in Judges chapter 14, I'd like to read a passage beginning in verse 5, and we'll read to the end of verse 14. This will be somewhat familiar to you, of course. It's a story about Samson and one of the things that Samson did. Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 5, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then will I give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Well, we'll stop our reading right there. An amazing end to this story. As you'll remember, they finally found out. They cheated. They found out the wrong way. And Samson ended up giving them what they wanted, but not in the way they expected. We'll not look at that part of the passage this evening. What I would like you to look at, however, is look at the end of verse 5. The Bible says this, Behold, a young lion roared against him. And now we come down to verse 14. The Bible says this, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. I was encouraged as I was studying this passage recently, and I hope and I trust that God will enable me to pass on to you the encouragement that God gave me as I looked in this part of God's Word. Britain's oldest brand, the oldest brand that's still existing in the United Kingdom, has a very interesting story behind it. You may already know what it is. But I was interested to read that it began with a man named Abram Lyle back in 1882. He sent 5 of his 6 sons from Scotland to London to build a sugar refinery. And they built this amazing factory, a sugar refinery, and they were going to take the sugar cane that was shipped into London, and they were going to refine it and then take it up on canals and perhaps on the sea up to Scotland and sell it for a lot of money and become very, very wealthy. But something happened, and all the boats and the canals and all the things that they were going to use to ship the sugar to Scotland shut down for about 2 years. And they were in very, very desperate condition. One of the men that they had hired as a chemist found that one of the byproducts of sugar refining was a brown goo that was thrown away. And people would just come and take it for free. And so this man discovered that this brown goo could really be refined. And so he figured out a way to refine this kind of off-scouring of the sugar refining business. And they patented it. And they called it Lyle's Golden Syrup. And on a tin, which is the exact same type of tin they made back in 1882, it still comes in metal tin. I think you can go to the shop and buy one today. And on that tin, there's a little picture. If you have one at home, you can look at it. And what is on that picture, on the tin? There's a picture of a dead lion. And there's a picture of bees swarming about it. And there's honey in the carcass of the dead lion. Because Abram Lyle figured out that this story was true, the thing that was going to break him, the thing that was going to bankrupt him, the very thing that was going to cause his financial ruin and wreck his family and their fortune, was the very thing that came to be the sweetness that ended up saving them. That's a pretty interesting story. Now, I want you to know that the devil works that way in our lives, just like this lion in verse 5 roared against Samson. The devil comes against us, and he roars, and many times he attacks us, doesn't he? And he believes, I will ruin you and wreck you, and I will tear you to pieces. And yet God is a wonderful God, and he has a wonderful way of bringing sweet new beginnings from bitter endings. Our God is able to do that. And you may face some discouragement. You may face something, and the devil whispers in your ear, you're at an end. You've wrecked it. You've ruined it. It's done. But I want you to know our God is a God that can bring sweet new beginnings out of what the devil meant for bitter endings. We come to this passage and we see here is a lion desiring to devour Samson. And like the roaring lion we find in the New Testament when Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, isn't he? And the devil is after us. He's after anyone who's living for Christ and wants to have a clear Christian testimony. And he'll do what he can to discourage us. He can't steal our salvation, but he can seek to destroy our testimony. He can seek to discourage us. He can seek to do everything he can to throw us off track. But I want to encourage you tonight. Let's look at a few passages in the Bible and see that our God is in a wonderful way of bringing a great new beginning from a bitter ending. Let's go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Would you look there with me? I want to encourage you this evening. I need encouragement. No doubt you need encouragement. And God has encouragement for us as we look at this passage here. I want you to first of all see the bitter ending of God's great creation. What happened here? Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. The Bible says this, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. God completed his creation, and on the sixth day, he said, it was very good. On the seventh day, he rested. By the way, everything God creates is very good, and everything the devil does is to destroy what God has done. That's the devil's work. He has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his job. And he's good at his job. And he's on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's working on people especially who know Christ and who seek to follow Christ. And he's especially after young people who want to live for the Lord. And I want you to know, God created something, but the devil came along. Notice chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You see, Satan came in and took God's wonderful creation and sought as he could to ruin it all. And he tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned. And that sin plunged the world into darkness and into wickedness and into the misery we live with today. And Satan thought, no doubt, I've wrecked it. I've taken what God created in 6 days, this beautiful, perfect, and innocent creation, and I've wrecked it all. But I want you to notice just in a few more verses, God is going to bring a new beginning out of a bitter ending. God doesn't stop at the fall. God had an eternity past, the Bible teaches us, made a way so that sinful men and women like you and I could be redeemed. And God promises to do something, a brand new beginning. The proto-evangelium, it's called. The first mention of Christ is found in the same chapter. Isn't it interesting? In the same chapter where the fall of man, there's also the promise of the Redeemer. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus Christ was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and from a bitter ending came a new beginning. Our God is able to foresee what will happen. He's able to know what will happen and prepare a way for a new beginning to come out of a bitter ending. We're familiar with the Genesis account, but I want you to notice, not only does Satan wish to destroy and wreck the creation that God made, but he also sought to, remember that verse said there would be enmity between the seeds. He sought to wreck and destroy what Christ came to do. Turn with me to the book of Acts, would you please, in chapter 7. And I want you to know that there was a bitter ending at the cross. Acts chapter 7. Here is a sermon that Stephen is preaching to Jewish people. And he says to them something very interesting in Acts chapter 7 and verse 52. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ, God, became man and dwelt among us. And he lived a perfect life and he kept God's law because he was God incarnate. And he went to the cross willingly. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 7 and verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and the murderers. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 verse 11 that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The God that made us, the Creator, came and he took on flesh and became a man, and he came and walked among us. And the devil said, I have a plan. I'll destroy this one who thinks he can heal and raise the dead. I have a plan. I'll inspire Judas to betray him. I'll inspire the high priest and the rulers of the Jews to hate him. I'll inspire Pilate to wash his hands of him, and I'll make sure he's dead. And Satan thought, I'll destroy this plan, this great plan that God proclaimed way back in the very beginning when I tempted Adam and Eve and he promised there'd be a Redeemer. I'll destroy that plan. I'll wreck, I'll ruin, I'll devour, I'll tear it apart. And can you imagine the party that was in hell when Christ hung on the cross? Can you imagine how the demons shrieked and laughed with glee and how Satan thought he'd won everything? It's the end. Here's the Savior, the Creator, and he's hanging, bleeding, dying, helpless on a cross. And Satan had his day, and the demons had their laugh. But that was not the end, because God brings new beginnings out of bitter endings. There was a new beginning at the cross. The book of Romans tells us so much about what Christ did for us. Let me just read you a verse. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement." You see, the devil thought he had everything planned just right. He'd inspired Judas, and Judas played his part. Pilate played his part. The high priest got everyone to say, "Crucify him," right on cue. And it all went according to the devil's plan, or at least that's what he thought. But on that third and glorious day, God has a way of bringing brand new beginnings out of bitter endings. And Christ took the bitter cup for me. And he died on the cross to pay for my sin debt. May I say to you tonight, if you're here without Christ, your life is a series of bitter endings. And the devil has done everything he could to blind you from the light of the glorious gospel. But I want you to know that there is a Savior who died on a cross who is willing and able to save those who had come to Him by faith. And He is able to change your life and give you a brand new beginning. And that's true. And I know it because it happened to me. And if it happened to me, it can happen to you. And I want you to understand that there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who from the most tragic of circumstances, perhaps you could say, who from the most treacherous of betrayals, perhaps you could say, brought a wonderful brand new beginning. And on that third day, He rose from the dead. And the Bible says He's alive forevermore. And He has the keys to death and hell and the grave. And He defeated sin and Satan. And He brought new beginnings out of bitter endings. And God is able to do the same for you because we serve a risen Savior. I was reading a story about perhaps the most famous general in United States history named Robert E. Lee. He was a famous Civil War general. And I was very interested to read the story about his early life. His mother, if I remember her name correctly, it was Mary Lee. I may be incorrect on that, but I think that was her name. She became very, very ill, exceptionally ill. So ill, in fact, that she died. She passed away, and in those days in the Deep South, I think near Richmond, Virginia, if I remember correct, they took the body and they would have a wake in the home, and they put the body in the cellar for, I think, 3 or 4 days. And Mary's husband was sleeping one night, and he was grieving over his wife, young wife who just died. And he had a dream. He dreamed that he could hear her talking to him. And he woke up, and he thought it was just a dream. And he went back to sleep. He thought he heard her again. He went down in the cellar, and there she was. In a box, in the coffin, in the casket. And she was screaming out, "I'm alive! Get me out of here!" And he opened the coffin, and there was Mary Lee. And not long after that, she gave birth to Robert E. Lee. Oh, that was an interesting story. That illustrates the story of what we're thinking about tonight. You may think, I have nothing to offer. And you probably don't. We don't in ourselves. But you see, God is able to bring new beginnings out of tragic, bitter endings. And God could do amazing things with anyone who would just yield their life to Him. You see, the devil wished to destroy creation, but God said, I'll bring a new beginning out of this bitter ending. The devil wished to destroy the plan of God to redeem us, and he was able to say, well, Judas is going to betray Christ, and Pilate will wash his hands of him. But Jesus Christ brought brand new beginnings out of bitter endings. But I want to encourage you with one other thing. You know, we come to the book of Revelation. We looked at the beginning of the Bible. We looked at the heart of the Bible. Now let's look at the end, the book of Revelation. You know, the bitter ending at the climax of time, we're told about many things that will happen in the last days. And the Bible tells us much about it. The Bible says this, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." In the end of the days that we live in, the last days, we understand from the Bible that the devil is going to express his wrath in an exceedingly great way. And he is going to do everything he can, one last great hate-filled fight against God and His people. And you think, what is happening today in this world? What is happening in these last days? You think about families, they're falling apart. Before even the politicians get involved and redefine the family was falling apart all on its own, wasn't it? But now the politicians are helping it out. You think about children and how they grow up with no moral compass at school. Very few now in the United Kingdom. Did you know in 1958, over 50% of children went to Sunday school every Sunday? Do you know how many children go to Sunday school now in the United Kingdom? Less than 1%. That's an amazing thing. You think, what is happening? The devil's at work. He's seeking to devour and destroy and wreck and ruin everything that's good or godly or holy, everything that has any semblance of the righteousness of Christ. And he's after people who want to live for Christ. Our societies, no matter where you live, you say our societies are breaking down and sin is celebrated and holiness is mocked. What's happening? Well, the devil is having a heyday. But I want you to notice that even in the bitter ending at the end of the times, at the last days, there will be a new beginning that comes out of a bitter ending. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and then sin marred and ruined God's creation. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Genesis and Revelation are a mirror image. And God is showing us that whatever the devil tries, that God still is going to bring new beginnings out of bitter endings. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God created a Garden of Eden and he had a river that flowed through it. And sin wrecked and ruined that garden. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 through chapter 22, verse 2, that God is going to create a new Jerusalem and a river of life is going to flow through that. What an amazing new beginning. Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, Adam and Eve were united in marriage and they sinned. And that sin has corrupted homes and families and marriages ever since. But in Revelation chapter 19, verses 5 through 9, Christ and His church, the bride, will be married forevermore. And that'll be a perfect, perfect wedding and a perfect, happy marriage. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, we find the curse of sin. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, the curse of sin is abolished forever. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 10, death entered creation. But in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 through 20, death is permanently and forever destroyed. Never to die, no death anymore. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Redeemer is promised, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, the victorious Redeemer reigns forever and ever, and all glory goes to Him. I'm saying to you, our God is able to bring new beginnings out of bitter endings. Let's make this practical. The devil delights in whispering in our ear, it's all over, it's done, it's ruined, it's wrecked. Maybe it's something in your home. It may be something you face at your job, in your own personal life. I don't know. It may be a hope you've had, and you've been praying and hoping. Maybe it's a loved one you've been praying for, that they'll be saved, and they've made some decision, and you think, they'll never be saved now. They've moved away. I have no more influence. I don't know what it is. But I want you to know our God is able to bring beautiful, sweet, new beginnings out of bitter endings. What the devil means to wreck us and ruin us, to devour us. Samson said, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And God is able to take that thing that other people think, that's going to tear you apart, that's going to wreck you, that will ruin you. You'll never be the same after that. And God is able to say, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And remember Abram Lyle, the very thing that sought to wreck him, the thing that was going to be his financial ruin, turned out to be the greatest blessing, and the very thing that enriched his family far beyond what his original plan ever could have been. And I want you to know that God is able to take your bitter ending and to make a wonderful new beginning of it. Because that's how wonderful our God is. The devil is all about endings. And our God is all about new beginnings. Let me ask you this. Do you know Christ is your Savior? If you don't, you need a new beginning. May I tell you about a person I know who had a new beginning? A man who is My father, who was told he had less than 6 months to live, because if he couldn't quit drinking, he was going to die of cirrhosis of the liver. And it was the end. He had several children. He worked at Buick Motor Company in Flint, Michigan. And he heard a man who got up on a lunch table with a little New Testament. And the man only knew one verse. It was John 3:16. He could hardly read, but he knew John 3:16. He'd just walk up and down the table at the lunch counter at Buick. And my dad would throw pieces of sandwich at him, curse him, mock him. And then he was diagnosed. He said, "You have 6 months to live." He got down on his hands and knees behind a big crate of coil springs for Buick cars. And he repented of his sin and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And that bitter ending turned into a wonderful new beginning. And I didn't have to grow up in a drunkard's home because Jesus Christ gave my father a new beginning. He can give you a new beginning. That's what he does. He's an expert. You have something in your life that's so discouraged you. We all deal with things that discourage us. But I'm encouraged to know that God brings new beginnings. As we look to Christ, where's that lion? Where is that lion? Is it at home? Is it at work? Where's that lion? Is it at school? Is it at university? Where's that lion? Remember, what the devil meant to devour you, God can mean to strengthen you and to help you and to give you a new beginning. This was not a great, profound message tonight, but it was a message I needed. I don't know if you needed it, but I needed it. And I know that the Lord is at work and He's able to do amazing things. Shall we look to Christ? Shall we trust Him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Thy work in our hearts. We're thankful for the reminder that when the devil means to destroy us and wreck us, when the devil comes against us to discourage us, that there is a Savior who has already defeated death and sin and hell and the grave, and that our Savior is able to bring new beginnings out of bitter endings. Help us look to Christ. We pray for that one who may be here tonight without Christ, that he would or she would come repenting of their sin and trusting Christ alone by faith for salvation tonight. And help discourage Christians who may be here, those who become weary in the way, those who have felt as though they don't know if they could take another step. We pray that they would look to Christ, and by faith, looking unto Jesus, they would sense and understand and know that there is a Savior who will bring wonderful new beginnings out of the bitter endings the devil meant to harm us, and there will be sweetness that comes from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.